Yes, I am a bit unwell. Combination of a heavy cold and I think probably there's a bit of hay fever in there as well. So just bear with me. I spent this morning actually going through my notes, crossing out lots of the bits. Yes, lots of smiles. So I thought, as much as I may be able to speak for the usual length of time, it's probably not in your best interest to listen to my voice like it's for half an hour. So hopefully it'll be a bit shorter today. Let me just reiterate Cecily's notice on the importance of praying and taking that opportunity to fast for our young people. Just to say again that we have a prayer meeting on Friday from 7 till 8:30 up there, and that's when the youth are here. So we will pray hearing them and their noise all around the building. And for me, that just feels like the perfect time and place to pray with them right around us. So let's, if you can, come to all or part of that time, and we will pray. And also, just to say, we've got the Headington Festival going on today, and I have a list here from Ruth Gass. We don't have quite enough people signed up to help through the day. It's 1 till 6 o'clock. And if you can help, either with face painting, or there's a kids game you can help with, or just giving out leaflets, this is a great way of reminding people that we're here, that we're on the map for their mental map. So if you can help just for an hour this afternoon, is Naomi Gass in here? She's upstairs. Naomi will have this after the service. Please find Naomi if you can give an hour in the park. So today is the second of a two-part series on hospitality. Thank you. James spoke last week on this topic under Entertaining Angels. I missed that because I was at Cranley Baptist Church, which is Tim's dad's church. And it was lovely to be there for the day. Had great hospitality from Dick and Jill, Tim's mum and dad. Saw the house where Tim grew up from the age of one. It was a lovely visit, except for the fact they were selling my book on their bookstall in the second-hand section for 50 pence. But I'm getting over it. It's all right. So what is hospitality? Well, I, as always, went to the dictionary, and it defined hospitality as the act of being hospitable, which is great, isn't it? So the act of being hospitable. Hospitable is defined here as offering welcome and entertainment to strangers, guests, and visitors. And it's very clear in the Bible that hospitality is a great way of beginning fellowship, of deepening fellowship, and it has great value for us. And God wants us to be very involved with one another. I think it's very hard, isn't it, just on a Sunday morning. If the only time you connect with other people here is on a Sunday morning, it's going to be very difficult. It's going to take years, probably, to get to know people well enough to feel that there's a depth of relationship there. You know, imagine if that was a situation in your family life where you just connected as a family just for a meal once a week and didn't see them. It would take you years. You may never get close at all. So it's very important that we find every way we can of interconnecting with one another, of sharing our lives together. And this is very clear in the New Testament, because a while ago I did that search on the one another's. You know, the one another's of the New Testament. And I came across 55 different types of one another's. Can you shout out some of them? A phrase that ends in one another. Love one another, that's number one. Bear with one another. Well done, Priya. Top of the mind there. Bear with one another. Pray? Pray for one another? Okay, right. Encourage one another. Be humble towards one another, build up one another, admonish one another, serve one another. We've had pray, live in fellowship with one another, greet one another, help one another, confess your sins to one another, be hospitable to one another. There's loads of them. And what's clear is that in every possible way, we're told by Jesus and by the New Testament writers that we are supposed to be in each other's lives. We're supposed to be sharing each other's life. That's very important for us, because we have two huge needs as human beings. We need to be loved, and we need to belong. I've just skipped a whole page of my notes, by the way. Isn't that great? So, So we need to be loved. And if we need to be loved, then I've added that means we also need to love. This sermon is called The Royal Law. The Royal Law, you may not know what it is. Let me read a few verses from Matthew 12. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." So there you go, there's the royal law. And if you're saying, well, why do we call that the royal law? Well, because it's actually specifically called that here in James 2 verse 8. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. So we have the royal law. We also have something called the golden rule. You probably, what on earth is the golden rule? I don't think this is mentioned in the Bible, but it's called the golden rule by theologians and biblical commentators. And here's the golden rule from Matthew 7. In everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Do to others what you would have them do to you. Now, you can see the similarity between the royal law and the golden rule. And it's all about extending ourselves, isn't it? Extending. Both these principles are from Jesus himself. And he's saying, reach out. Have a little think. What would bless you? Well, why don't you do that thing that would bless you for someone else? What would be a help to you? Well, do that for someone else. So let's say, you know, if you have children, one day they may go off to university. What would you hope that that church would do for your children? How would you hope they would reach out and look after them and care for them? And I think these say, then that's what we should do here for students. Please, God, for students who come here. What would help you in a church situation when you go to a church for the first time, as Breeze and I did last week? What would help you? Someone at Cranley. Second negative thing. Really positive experience, Tim. This lady came up to me and just arrived. She said, "Oh, are you related to Louise Band?" Well, I said, "Well, no, there aren't many bands around. But I'm not related to Louise Band." She said, "Oh, that's good, because she's a really horrible person." It's a special place. Don't you dare tell your dad. What do we need when we go to a church how do we need others to be to us? And then just think, well, that's actually how I need to be to people who come in here. Or what about when you go to a small group for the first time? That's a challenge, isn't it? And what do we need from others to make us feel welcome and included and part of that group? And that is how we should be towards others. Okay, so what Jesus is saying is take your eyes off yourself. You know, we live in our own little worlds far too much. Take your eyes off your little world and look at those around you and consider their needs. So we need to fulfill the royal law and the golden rule. If we want to be loved, then we have to love. That's part of the bargain, isn't it? Secondly, we need to belong and to help others to belong. It's horrible, isn't it, when you go into a social situation where there's a group and you just feel it's hard work, you don't fit, your face doesn't fit, no one's really talking to you and so on. It's very hard to be in a situation where you don't feel you belong. And to be frank, most of us wouldn't return to that second time if that was our experience. Now, you know, there are many groups in the world because we all, every human being, Christian or not, needs a sense of belonging. And so, of course, the world's full of groups. And often they get on brilliantly. But the church really must be leading the way here, mustn't it? It must be leading the way as the place of supreme belonging. And it has to lead the way because God is love. And if we have any sense of an experience of his love, a genuine experience of him, then the church should be par excellence, a place where we belong, where people come in and say, "This is, I feel part of this." This is what somebody called Jim Wallace said. The renewal of the church will not come through a recovery of personal experience or straight doctrine, nor through innovative projects of evangelism or social action, nor in creative techniques or liturgical worship, nor in the gift of tongues, nor in new budgets, new buildings and new members. The renewal of the church will come about through the work of the Spirit in restoring and reconstituting the church as a local community whose common life bears the marks of radical obedience to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Do you agree with that? It's good, isn't it? He said that in 1976. I think God wants us to be an inclusive place. You know, I think one of our problems, we all know we need to be loved. We all know we need to belong. Now, the big danger for us as human beings is we gather people around us so we feel they care for me. And I'm in a group and I belong here. But then once our needs are being met, we shut the doors. And it starts in the playground, doesn't it? Or the school playing field in this case. Nice little group there. They're okay. Their needs are being met. This guy's on his own. And we need to be very careful about this. You know, just because we're in a group doesn't mean we're selfless. The world is full of selfish groups and self-orientated groups and sinful groups. The mark of God's love is that we are a group whose doors are always open. That we never say, oh, we complete one another now, so we're okay. And why don't you go and form a different group? The doors are always open. It's a radical sense of inclusiveness that God calls us to. And to be honest, if we're not that, I'm not sure we're much better than what is out there already. So let's be radically inclusive. Now, in a few minutes, I'm just going to share a few practical ways that we can practice hospitality. But first, I've invited Cecily up. I don't know if you spotted her name at the top there. Did anyone see her name? Hey, well done. So, Cecily's just spotted it now. Cecily, I couldn't think of anyone better for us to hear from on the issue of hospitality than Cecily and John Gelderfield. And so, Cecily, I just want to ask, take that, very simply, why do you do hospitality, how do you do it, and what do you get from it, apart from a lot of washing up and stuff?
Yes, the hospitality we do is a bit varied. Yes, we have people to lunch, although that's kind of not quite as often now as we used to, because we're still in the century of roast Sunday lunches, and most people have moved on from that and want to, you know, to eat in the Sunday evening. So, but if anybody wants a roast Sunday lunch, you know, you're very welcome. I think the piece we've got today is for four, isn't it, John? So, oh. You said that on purpose. Anyway, but what I particularly want to talk about is the fact that we have people to stay in our house. And this is the piece of hospitality that was mentioned in Chris's first list, strangers mostly, people we don't know. We have people to stay in our house who are in need of somewhere short-term or maybe a few months. Once or twice we've had people for a couple of years. And I just want to talk about that a minute. It's, first of all, it's not planned. It was never planned that we'd do this, that we'd have people coming and staying and helping them out by providing them a free room and meals. And it was not expected either. It's an easy thing to do in Oxford in terms of getting people, because there are many Christian organisations with offices and headquarters in Oxford. And they have people coming from abroad who need somewhere for a few weeks or a few months while they're on courses and this sort of thing. And we all know how incredibly expensive places are to rent in Oxford. And in fact, short term, it's practically impossible. So from that point of view, it's easy getting people. Another thing it's not is it's not smart. Our house, oh my goodness, I despair sometimes. You know, we haven't had any decoration done for 22 years. The stair carpet is worn to the threads and all the rest of it. We do have somebody booked to do the hall stairs and landing in October, thank goodness. But the point being, you don't have to have a smart house. People want a home, somewhere they can feel comfortable. They don't need, you know, for it to look like a hotel. So that's something it's not. Two things you do need. One, you need to be willing to have anybody, people you haven't met before. So you need to be willing to just welcome somebody and never having met them before. And obviously, you need to have a certain amount of the right facilities. And that, I know, we've been very, very blessed and we're very thankful that we don't have to feel that we've got to charge people rent. We do have two and a half spare bedrooms. We do have plenty of space to have people. And I know not everybody has that facility, but we have the space and we're willing. The blessings, finally, out of it are, well, two main ones that straight away came to me. One is that many of the people we have to stay are Christians working in different parts of the world. I always wish I'd kept a list of the countries that people have come from all over the world, but I haven't. But it is so wonderful, I feel, just to touch for a few weeks, few days, what God is doing in some other part of the world that I know nothing about. Just to, you know, be in touch with that briefly is fantastic. It's such a blessing to learn what's going on. And the other thing is really that it puts our lives in a new perspective. I was just thinking, a guy called James Keppo, who's arriving tomorrow, who was with us last summer as well, doing work at OCMS. He lives in Uganda now. He's from South Sudan, but his house was taken from him in the Troubles, and he lives with his wife in Uganda and counts himself very blessed because all the rest of his family are in a big refugee camp. Gosh, that makes you put your life in perspective, doesn't it? People who meet for church every Sunday in somebody's house, but one person has we have rotas, but in this house, the rota is one person sits downstairs outside watching for the police in case they come, so they can pop in and say, okay, we're doing something else now. We're not doing church, you know? Gosh, aren't we blessed? You know, those sort of things, you just, and there's a lot of them. It's not just those two at all. A lot of them that go on. And it puts your life in perspective just to see, you know, it's like another planet where we live here. You know, we're halfway to heaven already just by living here and being in this church. It's amazing. So, you know, it helps you to see, put your troubles in perspective.
Thank you very much, Cecily. Headington, halfway to heaven. That's a great strap line, isn't it, for Headington Action or something like that. Well, let's just, before I finish, let's just apply this then in some practical ways. Can I just say that hospitality is not just a question of eating together, okay? And I'll say a little bit more about that in a moment, but we just need to bear that in mind. Having said that, a lot of hospitality does involve shared meals, and that's profound in biblical cultures, isn't it? So much of Jesus' ministry and teaching happened in the context of a meal. And meals weren't just about an opportunity to have food or to eat food quickly. Food was eaten leisurely, and company was enjoyed. And it was a way of building friendship and unity and loyalty, which is why Judas's betrayal at the Last Supper is so shocking, because it's in the context of a meal. Let me go back one. This is what Ian Stackhouse said, minister down in Guildford. It is around the table, in the company of family and friends, and a good meal, that we begin to distinguish between the hurriedness of an insatiable consumerism and the richness of leisurely conversation. A hurried meal is a contradiction in terms. A meal is an event. It is a place where we share our lives together. Some of you from different cultures have got this nailed. The French have got this nailed, by and large. Brazilians, how are you? Is this how you enjoy your hospitality? You take time, don't you? Yeah. Right. First application, start small. Start small. You know, I think sometimes we feel overwhelmed by the idea of hospitality because we may say, well, I just don't have any skill in this. I don't have a large dining room to put people in. I don't have Denby crockery. Most of my glasses are chipped now. My cutlery doesn't match. We don't have a Michelin star, and we can't afford to take people to the Randolph. So what do you do? Jesus has some real comfort to offer us here. Matthew 10. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. A cup of water, cold water. I was at a meeting this week and I went in and the host said, would you like a drink? I said, oh, I'll have a decaf coffee. Oh, I don't have any decaf coffee. I said, oh, I'll have a decaf tea then. Don't have any decaf tea. I said, oh, I'll just have a glass of water. Jesus wouldn't have used the word just, apparently. He would have seen a blessing in me receiving that and for that person in giving it. Jesus here picks pretty much the smallest thing. I know water's not quite free, but it's as near to free as we can imagine. Picks the smallest thing, and he picks, in a sense, a seemingly insignificant, I say seemingly insignificant group of people, the little ones. And he says, you give a seemingly insignificant gift to seemingly insignificant people, and it's not insignificant. It is valued by God. And we have the parable of the sheep and the goats, don't we? Where the sheep, you know, they say, well, when did we? When were you hungry and we fed you? When were you thirsty and we gave you a drink? And Jesus said, when you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. Okay, so let's remember that in offering hospitality to one another, we're serving Christ. But I don't want us to say, well, I don't really like this person, but I'll do it as if they're Jesus. Jesus wants you to like them as well. And he will reward you for what you do. I remember in Christmas of 1997, I spent Christmas Day in a leper colony in North India. So I went to this leper colony with some friends on Christmas Day. And we had a nice time, and then it came time for Christmas dinner, and they sat us down on the stone floor, and they put dried leaves in front of us. And then the lepers came in carrying stainless steel buckets. And in those buckets was rice, dal, and curry. That was our Sunday dinner. Now, in one sense, it's not that nice being served Christmas dinner by lepers from stainless steel buckets, of course. But in another sense, it was amazing. Because these guys, they were cured lepers, by the way, these guys had given all that they could. They didn't have fancy bowls, but they did have buckets. And they gave all they could, and all the food they could, to us. And it was a blessing. You know, I mean, I'm not saying serve each other from buckets if you go around. But let's just get the perspectives right. Because if we aim for, you know, if we're like, oh, it's got to be a dinner party, it's got to be a come dine with me experience or whatever, then it's not going to happen, is it? We'll never, hardly ever have time for that. But what if it's just, hey, you know what, it's going to be a simple meal, but let's be together. For me, that feels a lot more reachable. But I want to say as well, hospitality is not just about food. Because if you go back to the dictionary definition, it's about offering a welcome. Hospitality is offering welcome. So hospitality might be the offer of a shared walk, which you guys, I know, do in the new to HBC group. Let's go on a walk together. It's about spending time. It may be a coffee together, Dave, at Cafe Nero, a wholly owned subsidiary of Headington Baptist Church. It's the other HBC, isn't it? Headington Baptist Cafe. It might mean for you hosting a dinner party, you might say, oh, goodness me, I'm really bad at keeping a conversation going, and what if everyone stops talking? It'll be so awkward. So, you know, get someone along, someone who's really sort of chatty. I was going to say mouthy, but chatty. Get someone else along to come and help you to just make that work. So there are all sorts of ways. But the idea is, let's start small. It's not about having the best food or the biggest dining rooms. And the other thing is, as I suppress a sneeze, be inclusive. I spoke a few weeks ago about Ruth, and I was saying that we need to be extending welcome to people who are different to us. And hospitality is an opportunity to cross all sorts of differences, which could be divides, but they don't have to be divides, they're differences, and we can bridge those in our homes or in the coffee shops, whether that's, as we've said, differences of race or language or gender or whatever it is. We can bridge those. There will be some challenges in that, of course. A South Indian friend of mine, he came to Oxford, must be 20 years ago now. South India's very good at hospitality. He went to his first experience in a British home. When he went in, they said, would you like a coffee? He said, no, thanks. Now, if you know Indian culture, you know no does not mean no. No means yes, but you ask me a few more times first, please. Well, he wanted a coffee, but they took his first answer and he never got his coffee. Secondly, when they served the meal, they brought out beef. Now, in England, beef is a pretty good, be happy with that, wouldn't we? But in India, beef, as for some obvious reasons, is not high on the food agenda. And chicken's the thing you give, isn't it? Because that's the costliest meat. So if you've got a guest, you give him chicken. So he got beef. He was very upset with that. And then at the end, he said, shall I help you with the washing up? He'd never washed up since he got married. And they said, oh, yes, please. That would be great. So, poor guy. He had a very, very, what he saw as a very negative experience. You know, and the fact is, if we begin to share hospitality with one another, that we'll make loads of mistakes. Because we're different. You know, there was a lady who spoke of the difference between hot climate cultures and cold climate cultures. Hot climate cultures are great, they're very relational, and so hospitality is really important in those cultures. Cold climate cultures, where we're all shut the door because it's freezing outside, we're very task-orientated. And there's a difference between the two, and we have a mix of both in here. And let's just enjoy the differences as we experience them. It's interesting. The people I know I can just drop in on uninvited in this church, and when I think about it, they're almost all from hot climate cultures. Because I know I'll never really disturb them. You know, it's not that they'll drop everything. Once I dropped in on a family, and they were watching Chelsea play football, and the volume was really high, and I thought, oh, I'm here now. They didn't turn the volume down at all. They're not in the church anymore. They didn't turn the volume down. But they're like, this is what we're doing. Come and join us. Come and fit in with what we're doing, okay? Whereas in a cold climate culture, you get excruciating amounts of attention sometimes, don't you, when you go to someone's house. So I'm just saying, we're different, but let's be inclusive. So that's all I want to say. Let's start small. Let's be inclusive. And let's remember, it's not just about food, although that's a big part of it, but it can be about other things. It's about welcome. Welcoming one another. Now, I wonder if James and Tim would oblige and carry this table down, because I'm going to go straight into communion. Well done. We'll do my lighthouse instead, shall we? Could you just take the cloth, the napkins, sorry, that's the word.